News Talk ZB and the New Zealand Herald present Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, demystifying your finances.
Hi, I'm Frances Cook. Welcome to the show. Politicians are always banging on about the economy. Who has the better understanding of it, how they're the person to get our economy running hotter, and why the other guy's ideas are stupid. Which is all well and good, but what about on the day-to-day level? Do our politicians remember what it's like to be the little guy like you or me? And are they keeping an eye on the issues affecting our lives? How hard it is to make ends meet? Maybe even a few suggestions on what we can do for life to be a bit easier. Money issues touch every part of our lives, and I want to know what the people in charge think about it. So, I asked the leader of each political party currently in Parliament for their best money tip to help the average person. This time, it's United Future.
Newstalk ZB presents Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, boosting your business confidence.
I'm joined now by United Future leader Peter Dunn. So, what's your biggest money tip to help out the average person?
My biggest money tip is KiwiSaver. Get involved at an early stage in a compulsory for yourself saving scheme to provide for retirement, but also to get into the habit of saving and putting money aside. And if you're a young first home buyer, prospectively use the KiwiSaver provisions around first home buyers to build up, firstly, your deposit, and then secondly, obviously, once you've bought your home, build up your equity.
Yeah, my point of view on KiwiSaver is it's not a perfect scheme, but it's a pretty good one, right, for what we've got.
It is a good scheme. It's the best, I think, around. No scheme will ever be perfect, but I think this is as good as it gets, and I think just to encourage people into it, because, as I say, it builds up the capital base, but it also gets that habit of putting money aside for whatever the future intends, be it even travel or buying a home or whatever. But I think a lot of the problems that young people get into with money is they haven't really thought through what they need and how they're going to obtain it. They've got big dreams and they finance those on the credit card, and then when it all turns to custard, it turns pretty nasty.
Yeah, and you mentioned housing, which I think is a big dream that a lot of people are struggling with at the moment. So why is KiwiSaver particularly helpful for that?
Well, again, there is the capacity under the KiwiSaver scheme to use a certain proportion of your early deposits towards the purchase of a home. I think that's good. I think we can actually expand that. I'd like to see a system whereby a proportion of someone's student loan repayments were diverted into a KiwiSaver account, and maybe for a period of up to 10 years, those payments and the interest that they earned could then be accessed as a housing credit. So that helps build up your deposit and get people on that property owning track. And I think that's then the start to prosperity.
Interesting. So you'd have some of those student loan repayments as a credit into your KiwiSaver. That's what you mean?
Yes. I mean, at the moment, you repay your student loan and that's money going into the consolidated fund. I'm not saying that people should get a write-off or that we should pretend those debts aren't there, but let's use this money constructively and let's say to people, here's an incentive for a limited period of time, it might only be that first 10 years, for those payments to then be credited to what would effectively be a home ownership account. And then you could draw on that when the time came to purchase a home.
Yeah, a lot of people really struggling with that home ownership at the moment. Do you think the housing issue has reached crisis level?
Well, you can put words on it. I think we're in a very difficult situation. It probably is a crisis in that sense. And I think the problem is we don't have a coordinated approach to its resolution. You've got the government saying we want to build more affordable housing. You've got local authorities being pretty, I think, either tardy or inconsistent when it comes to the release of land for development. You've got the Reserve Bank saying we need to dampen down demand for homes, so you put loan-to-value ratios in place, and you've now got reports even just in the last 48 hours of, firstly, Auckland Council not releasing land in designated housing areas, special housing accord areas, and secondly, the banks taking a tougher policy with regard to first home buyers. All of these things are working inconsistently. Then you've got the issue of rental accommodation and social housing. So United Future has always said what you need to do is come right back to basics, get a national housing summit together, where basically you've got everyone in the room and say, we need to nut out a national housing strategy about availability, affordability, where rental and social accommodation fits in to all of that. Get that agreed and then get everyone out there playing from the same rule book. At the moment, it's all over the show. I mean, I get furious. I don't watch a lot of television, but when I see the building companies on TV each night advertising the home of your dreams and how easy it all is, and I think this is a complete contrast with what the reality is. Mm. We should be utilising them to help build affordable homes for young families to be able to move into.
All right, so to go back to KiwiSaver, some of the ways that people use it, I think even 10 years into the scheme now, I think not everyone understands the different ways you can use it. So are there any particular contribution levels that you're a fan of or fund types that you're a fan of?
Look, I think it's about right in terms of the contribution level at the moment. People can always do more if they wish to. I think that the mix between conservative and more aggressive funds, I think there's more education required about that, frankly, because I think most people take a conservative option. You need to have a more balanced portfolio. I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't go into detail on that. But I think that we do need more education about the mix between conservative and, as I say, more aggressive or risky investment strategies. I think we've also got to start to it's not too soon to start to think about what happens post-KiwiSaver. We face a situation where a lot of people are now building up very substantial KiwiSaver funds, which they will have paid in a lump sum at the age of 65, which is good in one sense, but potentially contains a whole lot of other problems if they don't know how to manage that. Mm-hmm. They could simply blow it all on a couple of big ventures, and then we're right back to where we were in terms of dependency and people not having reasonable retirement incomes. So I think we need to start to develop a post-KiwiSaver strategy, which would be based around encouraging people to purchase annuities at that point. So they've got a regular fixed payment coming out by way of effectively a salary to them, so they can manage their KiwiSaver over the long term. Already we're seeing, I'm hearing information from actuaries that in the last 10 years, demographics have changed to the extent that at 65, 10 years ago, you might reasonably have expected another 20, 25 years of life if you were fortunate.
Mm.
That figure's probably now extending by another 5 to 10 years. So already we've got changes occurring, and I think there is time to start to think about what the post-KiwiSaver strategy is.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point you raise, because obviously someone like myself in my late 20s, I have gone for a not quite aggressive, but certainly a growth approach to my KiwiSaver, because I have all the time in the world for it to have ups and downs. When you hit 65, that money is going to become your income quite possibly, and to make it still last but to invest conservatively, that's hard.
That's hard, and at the moment, you know, you'll be looking forward and think, well, that's a long time away. I've got plenty of time to worry about. There'll be lots of ups and downs along the way. That's fine. And I'll get this massive, you can do your projections right now, I'll get this massive amount of money when I'm 65. And that's good if you know how to manage it. But if you just simply see it as a big fund to blow, you know, I'll do an overseas trip, I'll buy a new house, I'll get a new car or whatever, suddenly the massive amount of money's not there in quite the way it was. So all I'm saying is we're going to face a situation, not immediately, but as people who've had perhaps 20, 25 years in KiwiSaver start to retire, where they've got big lump sums, they think their long-term future is secured, but they'll need good advice and good systems to help them manage that for the balance of their lives, hence something like an annuity policy or something that gets people actually using that KiwiSaver money, not just as one great big cash fund to have a splurge on, but that's the basis of their income for the remainder of their lives.
Yes, which could be, as you say, 25 or 30 years.
It could be. I mean, we're just seeing rapid changes in lifespan now. It's not uncommon. One of my delightful jobs as Minister of Internal Affairs is to sign all the messages to people who turn 100.
Oh, yes.
And beyond.
Quite a few.
But actually, they're not 100. They're 102, 103, 104. I think the oldest one I've done is 110.
Wow.
So people are living longer. They'll still retire about when they do now. Maybe there's change coming there. People might work much longer than they do today, simply because they'll be fitter and healthier. But the pattern of their income for the future has got to be thought through, and you can't do it at the last minute. So as you're embarking upon your saving career now, you need to start to think about, well, when I get to the point of maturity with this fund, how do I utilise it to protect me for the rest of my life?
So we're almost out of time, but when you talk about this possible post-retirement scheme, I mean, would you like to see that as a government scheme, a government private sector partnership? You know, what sort of thing?
I think the government needs to be talking with the private sector. It's probably going to be initially a government-private sector partnership. I suspect it would be rather similar to a KiwiSaver-type operation in that the government would mandate the overall set of rules and you'd be looking to private sector fund providers and fund managers to actually operate the scheme. I don't see the government collecting all that money and looking after it in the public interest, because I think people might be a bit wary of that. But certainly encouraging other providers to develop schemes tailored at that post-KiwiSaver population, I think, is what we need to be looking at.
Yeah, and I certainly think it's one thing to get people saving diligently, which is the first battle. You do have to take responsibility for your own retirement, because I don't think the pension is enough to live on. But the next thing is, yeah, we're going to have a bunch of baby boomers who are going to retire and not know what to do with their cash next.
Yeah, and I think they will be the first problem group, because they're the last group that's come through the cradle to grave mentality, where they were looked after. And so a lot of these decisions they haven't had to make. They've always relied on some form of universal pension or superannuation, and it just all flows. I think they're going to be the difficult group. I think the generations that follow have had a much more realistic approach, if you like, in terms of some of the difficulties that they faced along the way. And I suspect they'll be much more keen to say, OK, how do I need to structure my finances? How do I need to organise my life post-retirement? Because, as you say, the state's not going to necessarily be there to just sort of sweep me up and take me along with it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. That's Peter Dunn, leader of the United Future Party. If you have any questions about this episode or something you'd like me to look into for the future, do come and talk to me online. I'm Frances Cook Journalist on Facebook and Frances Cook on Twitter. Don't forget, you can subscribe to this podcast now on iTunes. And until next time, have a great day.
And that's Frances cooking up your business confidence for another week on News Talk ZB.